Sticking to your New Year's resolution is a matter of making one right decision at a time. If you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, you need to check out Super Beats Heart Chews. Just 2 Super Beats Heart Chews per day gives you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. Super Beats Heart Chews combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle. Style alone. When it comes to implementing healthy habits this year, adding Super Beats Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. And now you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase by going to danasbeats.com. That's 2 free gifts valued at over $50, only available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
There is no peace. We must be suspicious of even the peacekeepers. All are being vetted by the FBI ahead of Wednesday to ensure that none will turn on their country and pose an insider threat. We used to have to do that in Iraq, by the way. This is where we are, 4 years of Trump.
Golly. Is this what we're going to... Can you guys stop bitching for like 5 seconds? You want everything. You're controlling everything. I'm not quite sure why you're still so damn mad. Honestly. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Well, just go to danalash.com. You can find all kinds of stuff there. Sign up to the newsletter. It's good to be with you guys today. And there's a lot of stuff to go over, as there always is every single day. And this... this is like Trump's like last full day. It's his last full day completely. And tomorrow morning, I was looking at some of the information. I was looking at some of the information. Tomorrow morning, he is leaving before 10 Eastern, I think. I think before 10 Eastern. So he's leaving before 10 Eastern. He's leaving before Biden gets there. And this... That'll be about it. We're not going to get... I wrote about this last night. You're not going to see the... We're not going to have that optic of the... What is it? The handoff.
Right.
Transition. Or the transition. The peaceful transition, right? Anyway, so... a lot to look at. I wanted to give you the latest as to what the incoming administration is doing. I've never... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I have never seen an administration, Kane, that has an incoming administration that seems like so interested or seems like they're co-president right now.
Right. Well, I mean, I blame the media partly for that. I mean, they gave credence to this whole office of the president-elect.
The president-elect, the made-up thing.
What the heck is that? That's nothing.
Yeah, the made-up office.
I blame the media for setting up this whole narrative and this optic.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's confusing. There's like this back and forth on the travel moratorium. He had this travel moratorium that was on certain countries, and now Trump is wanting to lift it for certain parts of Europe, etc. Not with like China and Iran and all this. Right. And Biden's like, nope. Well, we're not going to do that. So it's like, okay. So. One of the things that I noticed in some of the coverage, and we're going to get into the 100 days of action. I told you yesterday that they are immediately going to go with that repeal, the repealing of the Keystone XL pipeline, or the agreement to allow it. Right. So they're going to disallow it. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. I have a couple of appointments that he's looking at as well as. All of the policies that he wants to undo the first day, just day one, go in and immediately undo a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm just waiting for the tax thing to happen. I think he'll try to walk around as much as possible with executive orders, but we'll see. You know, I'm not quite sure. I don't know what the hell day one means, but I know the Senate is back in session. The Senate's reconvened today, and we're going to be seeing all of that action because apparently what they're taking this up to tomorrow at 3:00.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's 3 Eastern, 2 Central. Ooh, boy. Tell you what. Gird up. Gird them. Gird up the loins. All right, so the snub headline. I saw this all day yesterday. The Trump snub of the Bidens, Melania Trump snub of Jill Biden, etc. I mean, it's Trump's snub of Biden's is historic in its magnitude. That's like one CNN headline. Melania Trump's disappointing break with tradition. Melania Trump's breaks silence with farewell speech. Snub of Jill Biden revealed. And then for comparison, Ryan Savadera, The Washington Post. This is kind of like how they approach the coverage of either administration. Don't compare Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. It belittles Hitler. That's actually a headline. And then another one. Future first dog Major Biden adopted from a shelter to get virtual inauguration. That's kind of a comparison of like how they're being treated. It really is. So I've seen this all. I've seen this six ways to Sunday. I've seen this. There were like 20 some odd headlines. They never gave her a chance. They've treated her like absolute garbage from the get-go.
They snubbed her.
Yeah, they snubbed her from the beginning. I wrote, if she were a Democrat and Jill Biden a Republican, they'd accuse Biden of some kind of like moral identity politic failing. Everyone remember, and we talked about that changeover. Now, I was thinking about this a little bit last night. Because, and we're going to talk to George Papadopoulos later on in the show, so it kind of dovetails into this. I remember that live inauguration coverage of the Trumps going into the White House and the Obamas were there, and it was so completely awkward, and we all knew it was awkward. We felt how awkward it was, and Melania Trump handed Michelle Obama this like blue Tiffany box. We all knew, all the ladies knew it was Tiffany, and it was this like weird little, it was like a weird moment, and smiles ensued, and it was so weird, and for better or for worse, everybody sucked it up and they put on a show for the American people, right? And they all walked into the White House and they hated each other, I'm positive, and I'm sure that they were having tea time when the other couple was out of earshot. Tongues were a wagon, I'm positive. But we all got that physical, visible moment of peaceful transfer. At least on the surface, right? And then, as all of that was watching, we later learned that the Obama administration had aided Hillary Clinton and the DNC in its quest to delegitimize the incoming Trump administration. We heard about Russia collusion for 4 years. We watched as private Americans were accused of treason, called traitors. They were surveilled by intelligence agencies, only possible because one intel agency lied to a FISA court and manipulated emails from another intel agency. And that was a fact that most of the media just kind of glossed over. Anyone who questioned Democrats, anyone who questioned their media defenders, they were all labeled traitors to the Republic because they somehow enabled Russia for, I don't know how still, but whatever. Comey's investigation turned up nothing. All of these hearings turned up nothing. IG reports, meanwhile, showed major impropriety from the Obama administration. So we know that. And we're still waiting for the Durham report whenever the hell that comes around. I mean, at some point it'll happen, right? At some point we'll get it?
Hoping.
Yeah, I would imagine. We knew that this, we learned about all of this impropriety from the previous administration, of which, you know, Joe Biden was aware of it. And people who wore red hats were attacked. They were beaten up. I have an entire chapter about this in my book, Grace Canceled. And cars that had Trump stickers, they were keyed. Our country was further divided. Then we had this lockdown. And then we had the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots that were unhelpful. The rioting is awful. And then the Capitol riot was also awful. And now we have a fourth estate that's mad because Trump isn't going to validate 4 years of this behavior with a photo op on inauguration day. Now, I have two veins of thinking about this, and I can't decide which one is winning. So bear with me. I would love to see this. Who doesn't want to see this peaceful transfer, right? Who doesn't want to see it? We all want to see that. We all deserve it, right? We've been through a hell of a year. But it's not going to happen. Because this is not... The way that the media is making this out, they act like this is some kind of like act of fealty, but it's not. It's performative theater. And it's they're pretending that Democrats for the past 4 years have operated in a manner that is consistent with the rules governing our republic, and that's just simply not true. We are a nation of laws that the Democrat Party did not follow. FISA abuse was emphatically not politics as usual. It was even more than just like dirty campaign tricks. People weaponized our intelligence agencies to settle political scores against private citizens. And so many people just shrug this off. It's terrifying because they established a frightening precedent. Now, Democrats are wanting to use this inauguration date like it's some kind of classroom bell. And they are demanding that Republicans get over their objections for the sake of country when their objections to unsecured mail-in ballots were for the sake of the country. You know, so much could be remedied if Democrats did own their share of responsibility for the country's division. But see, there are too many people out there who are completely blind to nuance, and they look at this as like score settling for something. And for some, that could very well be true. They may be settling scores. But here's the thing. We've talked about how the incoming administration is prioritizing the party's unity over the country's unity. They have no problem joining in with Republicans condemning the violence that happened last Wednesday, but they're entirely silent when that discussion turns to Black Lives Matter and Antifa violence. And people who place reconciliation first in their hearts, and they admit and they ask forgiveness for their transgressions. Hell, I would even honestly be okay with Biden throwing almost everybody under the bus and coming out and apologizing to Americans about the politicization of surveillance that occurred partially on his watch as VP and the actions of his predecessors. But again, party unity, never going to happen. Now, here's my other train of thought. Everyone should show up and suck it the hell up. Because this isn't for them. It's not for their egos. It's not for their party. It's not for their campaigns. It's for us, the people. And that would be actually right now, kind of, in terms of showing up and being there to let him in the White House. For a lot of people, that would be off brand for Trump. And it would be an absolute mind job for the Fourth Estate. And it would also be the ultimate repudiation of last week's violence. And it would forever be an advantage over Joe Biden. It really would. This is the guy who waited till what, August, before he ever said anything about the riots and violence from the left. It would temper passions. It would remedy a lot of bitterness with which Trump is about to leave office. And I think it would really seize influence from a lot of these power jockeying Republicans left in the wake. But remember, this like changing, this peaceful optic of handing the White House over, this is an informal observance. And it's for us. It's for you, the voter. We've kind of sacrificed a lot this year, a lot, some more than most. So I think voters should be prioritized. And maybe we could start by protecting the integrity of our votes, right? Maybe we could start there. Coming up, I'm going to tell you one of the most dangerous proposals coming up in Congress that you need to be aware of. And I will say this for everyone who, you know, if I think that people, everyone needs to know this. Everyone needs to know H.R. 1. And we're going to talk about what that is, what it includes, because that's not only the nationalization of voting. There's a lot of other stuff in there, and we're going to start discussing it today. You need to be incredibly familiar with it. We're going to get into the latest with the inauguration. We're also going to get into some of these coronavirus headlines. Big tech, they're going after Telegram in California. We're also going to talk about speech in context with Internet 230, corporatization, and so much others. We're going to get into all of that. And we're also going to speak, I mean, what's coming up in the new administration, incoming administration tomorrow. So we have a lot to discuss. I don't want you to go anywhere. As we get moving on today, because we're almost halfway through the week, our friends over at Kel-Tec, they make some awesome, awesome firearms. And they have some new stuff that's coming out this year. Well, I mean, they have like one new thing that's coming out this year. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary, so they have a pistol that's coming out. It's called the P50. I know nothing about this, but I know that they're very excited about it. They're stoked. They think it is like a recreating a whole new breed of handgun. So I'm excited to learn more about it. Sticking to your New Year's resolution is a matter of making one right decision at a time. If you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, you need to check out Super Beats Heart Chews. Just 2 Super Beats Heart Chews per day gives you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. Super Beats Heart Chews combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle. Style alone. When it comes to implementing healthy habits this year, adding Super Beats Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. And now you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase by going to danasbeats.com. That's 2 free gifts valued at over $50, only available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so I'm all for studying and figuring out what can help. Cannabis extracts may reduce the risk of dying from coronavirus by stopping the immune system from attacking itself. I'm not going to say this right. Cytokines? Right? C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E-S?
Yeah.
Two vowels, so it's probably... Well, okay. Cytokines are produced naturally by the immune system in response to infection, but in coronavirus patients, their immune system makes too much of it. So it's called a cytokine storm, and it can be fatal and is what is inhibited by 3 of the tested cannabis extracts. So they're testing these extracts on cytokine. You guys know. Don't tell me. These levels. You guys get what I'm saying. That storm is when your immune system goes crazy and it attacks healthy tissue instead of just the virus. So interesting. Yay science. Go and keep studying it. Oh my gosh. I don't know what to make of this. This is from Miami, actually. And I was going to put it in Florida Man, but... it was first reported in Miami. It's Oregon. A guy from Florida in Oregon. Oregon police are searching for a guy who stole a car Saturday morning without knowing that a kid was in the back seat. He came back to lecture the mom of the... who she just had her car stolen. He lectured her for leaving her child unattended. Yeah, the carjacker lectured the mom. And when the suspect saw the kid, he returned to the mother. He reprimanded her. He was like, I'm going to call the police on you for leaving your baby in the car unattended. Then he drove away in her car, according to Beaverton Police Spokesman Officer Matt Henderson. He hopped in the car, drove it, realized there was a 4-year-old inside, drove back, ordered the mom to get her car out, reprimanded her, and then drove away again. The little boy was unharmed. I don't even know what... She ran in for a second to grab meat. That's what it was, apparently, and ran back out. And it was like a quick... oh, my gosh. He, like, had the audacity, though, to still drive away in her car. Stick with us. Until I started talking about home title lock, I had no idea how easy the crime of home title theft actually is and how easily it can ruin you financially. The legal titles to everyone's homes are digitized. They're kept on government and business servers and in the cloud where they can be hacked. And a cyber thief can find your home's title and can forge your signature on a quitclaim deed stating that you sold your home to them. Done. And then they can take out loans against your home until all of your equity is gone and you're left with nothing but the debt. You won't even know until the collection calls start pouring in. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock protects you. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title, and the instant they detect tampering, they help shut it down cold. Visit HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you could potentially be a victim. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. And they tried to use fear and violence to stop a specific proceeding of the first branch of the federal government, which they did not like. But we pressed on. We stood together and said an angry mob would not get veto power over the rule of law in our nation.
Well, it's Mitch McConnell. He's not going to be making no fans there. Do you think he's kind of letting you see where his cards are? Just a smidge, kind of?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. So that, well, we kind of get, we do get an idea. Now he's the minority leader, sort of. Although, because they're so close in terms of, you know, power, they're doing this, like, power sharing thing. Did you hear about this? So in the Senate, they're, what is it, Schumer, their Democrats are going to control scheduling, and they're going to allow Republicans to control some committees. Wah, wah. The only thing that's important is controlling the schedule. Right. Nothing else matters. So to me, that's like, you know, that doesn't really do it for me. Don't act like that's a big get, because it's not. It's not a big get. But this, I do think that that's incredibly telling. So he didn't say incite. He said provoked. Now, you know, I don't like, I think Trump could have easily shut it down. But long story short, this is his last day in office. There was a lot of, he did a lot of really good things. And it is, and the left is gleeful that it's being overshadowed by last week. He did a lot of great stuff. The regulatory reduction is fantastic. Booming economy. I mean, how in the world is Biden going to get that booming economy back unless he reincorporates or puts into practice a lot of this? The tax cuts and decrease in capital gains taxes, all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things that he needs to continue with in order and support reopening in order to get this booming economy back. And jacking up taxes ain't the way to do it. You don't have to like Trump to acknowledge that his policies were good for the country. The regulatory reform, taxes, foreign policy, he didn't get us mired into any other conflicts. In fact, he was reducing our role in Afghanistan. Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud, the Abraham Accords, getting the Arab League to actually take a little bit more responsibility for the stuff that happens in their neck of the woods. I mean, that's all. These are all good things. Getting NATO countries to pay their. You want to talk about pay your fair share? How about some of these NATO countries paying their fair share instead of the United States and its taxpayers always having the burden on our shoulders of funding most everything? Getting these countries to actually fund their own self-defense. I mean, these are all good things. And so he's done. I think that, to say nothing of Operation Warp Speed. Oh my gosh, can I just share with you really quickly this tweet? I asked, because I saw Amy Klobuchar tweet this. She goes, in 2 days, the United States will finally have a president with a COVID response plan. You know, because Trump didn't have one or something, and he definitely didn't do Operation Warp Speed. What the hell is this? So I quote tweeted it, and I just simply asked, does this include trying to lump a Zebiger? Remember the thing that Biden had said? That I guess it was like a special medicine. I don't know. But I'm just, you know, just curious. So the inauguration, like I said, we'll miss that optic, but at the same time, I think that we all need to focus our attention right now on voter integrity. And I want to be really clear. I'm just going to tell you how I have this. If for the people who broke the windows and busted up into the Capitol, for the people who think that force is the only way, they think that for those who think that violence is an acceptable substitute for an abdication of civic duty, if you don't know H.R. 1, you are a poser. If you are not familiar with H.R. 1, you are a poser. I don't even want to hear it. People sitting here going, we don't have any other way. Here's the thing you can oppose right the hell now. This will not just make it worse. This will cement it worse. Now, this was actually something that they were pushing in 2019. It was introduced last year. It was one of the first things reintroduced by the 117th Congress. It's House Resolution 1 for the People Act of 2021. If you subscribe to my newsletter, you got this. Now, this is going to nationalize elections, something that our founding fathers very carefully and very purposefully had as a practice reserved for the states for a very specific reason. Each state handles its own elections. The end. You cannot be a constitutionalist and oppose this. This is federalism in action. And this is what H.R. 1 does. I'll just read you the first line. This is how they're presenting it. Democrats are pushing this. It was introduced by a Democrat, reintroduced out of Maryland. To expand Americans' access to the ballot box, reduce the influence of big money in politics, strengthen ethics rules for public servants, and implement other anti-corruption measures for the purpose of fortifying our democracy and for other purposes. It's going after speech in politics, and it will nationalize elections, among other things. They want to repeal Citizens United with us. Remember when Supreme Court decisions were final? Oh, yeah. Apparently they're not. So Democrats are looking to destroy Citizens United with H.R. 1. In addition to that, they want to have voting, and I'm going through every bit of it. They want to be able to have mail-in voting. All of this. And so, it gets into absolutely everything. This, and then of course, D.C. statehood is wrapped up in this too. I don't believe in D.C. statehood. I think if you want to be a part of the state, move to Maryland or Virginia. D.C. specifically is not to be a state. If you are upset about that, live in Virginia or Maryland. Now, and it would take an act of Congress. I mean, you would have to literally amend the Constitution. So with this, this is incredibly important. So what I want to start doing, I'm introducing this to you today. What I want to start doing is every day I want to go through some of this so that you can be, and you need to read it. I send it out in the newsletter. Because this is, it's troubling because you're talking about nationalizing the vote, which if you think there's a problem with voter integrity now, just wait. And DC statehood, in addition, it's an attack on speech because of Citizens United. So now this, like I said, it was reintroduced. I think this is something that they'll probably actually take up fairly quickly. Well, at least probably before midterms, maybe not immediately this, in the first couple of months, but I do think it's something that they'll take up rather quickly. But you have to prepare yourself for this. And this is where all of the focus needs to be. Every bit of your focus needs to be on this. It is a requirement. Now, I want to switch gears because one of the things I was looking at how Signal and Telegram are encrypted services. I'm on Signal. I'm not on Telegram right now. And one of my followers, one of the listeners, had linked the lawsuit that someone, because Telegram, they're trying to argue that violates hate speech laws in California, right? Now, here's where 230 comes into play. If you were just a facilitator and you are not a curator and you are not into editorialists, you're not curating anything, you're not doing any of this, you cannot be held responsible for the content. So long as, since hate speech is so arbitrarily defined, hate speech anymore can be just an opinion that a leftist disagrees with. But if it is not speech that is protected from liability, obviously you services remove that or disallow that so as to maintain any kind of terms of service agreements that they have with any other partners. But this suit in California is trying to go after Telegram for claiming that they violate hate speech law. They don't actually cite it, but they're trying to get Telegram shut down because they just don't like it, and they don't like the idea of anybody who is conservative, libertarian, or Republican going to use Telegram after being shut out of Twitter or Facebook or wherever. And the guy, plaintiff Mark Ginsburg, is a citizen of the state of Maryland and is the owner of one of defendant Apple's iPhone XR, which he obtained for personal and professional use. Ambassador Ginsburg has suffered damages through his purchase of his iPhone. Wow, that's the stupidest sentence I've ever read. And is suffering from negligent infliction of emotional distress in an amount that exceeds $75,000. Furthermore, Ambassador Ginsburg is seeking to enjoin Apple from allowing Telegram to be available in the App Store in violation of Apple's policies and terms of service. So this is what they're looking to do with big tech. 230 protects facilitators from speech from being held liable for either speech that other people dislike or even unprotected speech. Right? Because it's saying so long as you're making a good effort, which I don't even think that actually is a legal requirement. Most services do anyway because they just don't want to deal with it. And they also dislike it, right? Can we just not immediately assume the worst of everything? Can we just like give people the benefit of the doubt? Is that possible? But the idea that of somehow classifying something as hate speech and then holding a facilitator accountable, that's something that 230 protects against. Now, removing Section 230 gives a total pathway for this guy to go and do this. It'll make it that much easier for him and other people to do this all the damn time. Which then, guess what? And this is where the Biden camp comes in. They actually support. Remember how I warned everybody about not being on the same page as Democrats and repealing 230? Don't say I didn't warn you, because now the Biden camp is signaling that they are interested in continuing with the demolishing 230, because they like the idea. And this is me coming in and telling you this. They like the idea of all of these. If they can get culture and media and everyone else to define hate speech as that which just completely challenges progressive socialist Marxist norms, and if they can get that classified as hate speech, then they can go ahead. They don't even have to be heavy handed with these companies. If they remove those protections as provided for them in Section 230, these companies are going to shut down conservatives all automatically. And the inferment will be that these people being shut down engaged in hate speech, when really it's just the cancel culture rage mob that enabled the government to actually carry out censorship. That's the end game. I warned you. And it's coming. So we're going to talk about this and so much more, because I want to explore the idea of speech, free speech, because we are now at a point. Who answers to who at this point? The corporatization and influence of big tech. Do they answer to government, or does government answer to them? Do we know? I want to have this conversation because I want to explore whether or not free speech is it the right to silence other private citizens with your ability or means? Do you still call that free speech? Is that the free exercise? Is that just a consequence of free speech that you can be silenced? I want to explore this in detail. So we have a lot coming up that you don't want to miss. For sure. And then George Papadopoulos, like I said, he's going to be joining us later, which is, again, we're going to talk about surveillance and everything else. My word, he kickstarted it. He's the whole reason that whole Russian collusion thing was started. Sticking to your New Year's resolution is a matter of making one right decision at a time. If you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, you need to check out Super Beats Heart Chews. Just 2 Super Beats Heart Chews per day gives you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. Super Beats Heart Chews combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract, shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. When it comes to implementing healthy habits this year, adding Super Beats Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. And now you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase by going to danasbeats.com. That's 2 free gifts valued at over $50, only available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
I love James Brown. Oh, yes. I think it's partially because my stepdad was a huge rhythm and blues and Motown, and I know all the Motown songs. And we used to watch, like, when we had family movie night, whenever it was his turn to pick the movie, do you know what he would get at the Blockbuster Video?
What would he get?
The James Brown specials. I just thought it was totally normal that grown men wore capes and stuff and did splits on stage. So, as a result, my very first concert that I ever went to was Al Green.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why not? I know his music. Like, he's coming in town. Let's go. And turns out, no one my age thought the same thing. Because they were musically anemic. I love James Brown, though. Oof. We've already put our kids, the Lash kids, through our school of music. Because I think it's incredibly important that they have good taste. I'm like, you know, if you're going to, you know, it, more than anything, at least have good taste, right? At least have good taste. Have good taste in music. Have good taste in food. I've always told my kids about drinking and that. I don't want to see you be out there drinking underage. Like, because you're going to be stupid about it. Because young people drink stupid, cheap stuff. And they ruin themselves because they don't know what good tastes like. They have the Natty Light budget, and that shows because that's all they want to do. And I'm like, no, you wait until you're going to get the nice stuff, until you can afford the nice stuff, right? And then learn what it is. Again, have good taste. Sort of like an elevated Dalton discussion from Road. Everything comes back to Roadhouse or Lord of the Rings. No, I've told my kids that. I'm like, look, don't be stupid. Don't, you know, have good taste. So we've introduced them to, oh my gosh, they've been listening to this since they were little bitty. Have good taste. Raise your kids to have good taste, have common sense, and be able to clearly articulate a viewpoint without calling someone a fascist or racist. I said that to somebody else earlier. I'm so tired of this stuff. Like, this whole issue, somebody was like, tweeting violence and hate is never acceptable. Stop labeling every single opinion that you disagree with as hate and violence. It's illiberal, absolutely anti-intellectual. It's a total dodge by people who either lack ability or confidence to civilly articulate disagreement. And you should mock those people. Good heavens. So, coming up, we're going to talk about free speech. And I want to jab your brain into thinking overtime about this. Because we have to actually go here with the Internet 230 and all of this. We have to have a serious discussion about speech. We're also going to discuss more of what's coming, I guess maybe in the first week of Biden's administration. The latest with cancel culture, big tech, coronavirus, and more. Stick with us.
But I also think some of them are believing the garbage that they are being fed 24/7 on the internet by their constituents. And yeah, they bought into this big lie. And the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
Oh, man, come on. Come on, Katie Couric. Come on, Katie. It's a new year, Katie.
Was her voice always that annoying, or was it just, I just haven't
it's
heard
like
her
a, she does have a voice. Chicks, unfortunately, do not have the same vocal tonality blessings that dudes do. I'm not playing the sex card by any means. And some chicks are at a bit more of a disadvantage than others. That's why I always wish that my voice was way deeper. Sometimes, I don't know if you can tell, but I'll like purposely throw it that way. All right. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you guys today. It's a Tuesday. The inauguration's tomorrow. We're going to get y'all set up and just give you the lay of the land. And I just feel like people are more comfortable when they know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give you conspiracy stuff. I don't do any of that because I cannot stand it. I just can't. I just straight no chaser. And make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse because I send a lot of stuff out that way as well. To this point of this audio soundbite that we just played with Katie Couric talking about how she's making a universal statement. Now, look, I agree that nuance should not be dead, but I also believe that the practice of universally labeling everything contributed to that. And her engaging in this kind of rhetoric sort of contributed to that as well, you know? So I don't know if she's talking about every Trump voter or supporter or what. But here's something that the left needs to realize. There are a lot of people out there, and these were a lot of people that had reliably, and I talked about this in my last book, talked about this in Flyover Nation, my second book, There were a lot of people out there that voted Democrat for a really long time. And they were underserved by their party. Their party was started looking at wokeism. It was not so much advancing anything other it wasn't really advancing anything other than political ideology, not really like so much a humanitarian issue. They got into wokeism. People can't eat wokeism. They can't pay a bill with wokeism. They can't make their insurance premiums with wokeism. Can't pay their car insurance with wokeism. Can't send their kids to college on wokeism. Although, well, I'm going to sidebar some of them. You may now. Wokeism is only benefits the cottage industry that was built up to sell it. Sure. It's really it. You don't need a cottage industry to tell you to be nice to people. You don't need a cottage industry to tell you to treat people kindly. You don't need a cottage industry to tell you you don't have to attend every fight to which you're invited and you can just ignore people that you don't like. You don't need a cottage industry to do this, but apparently some do. My whole point is that to say stuff like this, Katie Kirk, I know a lot of people that watched her. I grew up with her on in my house. My folks kept her on. They listened to the Today Show. They didn't watch it. They just had it up. They had it on in the floor TV in the living room, turned up real loud until we got like the, we were like the last person I know. Well, I would know me because I would be me. We were the last people, I think, on the earth to get rid of the floor TV, right? We did not use it as an entertainment stand, I will say. I'm not hating on it. I actually kind of like the idea of a floor TV and I sort of miss it, right? How many of you like laid in the floor in front of the floor TV as kids? Or how many of you, maybe it wasn't my grandma, it was, that had the ceramic cat? You guys know that? Can I just sidebar real quick? What was that? The floor television, and then there was always, maybe your family didn't do this. Mine did. Like every family member I had did this. You had the floor television, and then there was the rug in front of it, and then like a ceramic animal of some sort. Did you do that? What is, and this transcends all ethnicity and background. Kane's family's Hispanic. My family's Ozark. It transcends everything. I've had black listeners, white listeners, Asian listeners. They're like, what is that? I've mentioned this before, like a couple of years ago. What was that? What did our parents do with the rug and then the ceramic thing in front of the TV, the floor TV, and the grandparents? What are our grandparents? My grandmother had that. Surprisingly, no one ever broke. It was a ceramic cat, but it was like not an actual cat size. It was larger than a cat. Very odd. See, Kane's dying right now. He's laughing his head off. Are you going down memory lane over there on the Google box?
I have video of the floor TV and a ceramic cat. All in this video right here with me at like 1.5, 2 years old.
Oh my gosh. Seriously. Yeah. Right?
Thanks to Legacy Box, by the way. Just
look at Kane with the Legacy Box. Look at you. Legacy Box just added to the segment, legacybox.com. I'm just saying. Anyway, my whole point is that we had this woman in our house. Because when you turn on these anchors and you're listening to them, it's like you're inviting them in your home, right? You hear them while you're getting ready. My mom would be curling her eyelashes and doing all this stuff. Now, it was in the 90s. I came of age in the 90s. I was the 90s teen. And I remember like doing my, all the stuff with, because you were heavy eyeliner was the thing. And we all did a horribly smoky eye. So I was like trying to make my eye makeup look like I had slept on it for 5 days and went on a coke bender as a high schooler, right? So I was like trying to, and I could hear Katie Couric and the Bryant Gumbel and all of that. And it's weird because now she says this kind of stuff. And I'm like, my family listened to you and they voted Democrat. And then later supported Trump. So maybe you should take an inventory and get to know your audience a little bit better before you make universal statements like this. There's a little bit more complexity that exists there, right? And here's the other thing. When you're sitting here telling people, well, we got to deprogram them. What the hell does that even mean, deprogram? I'm not going to go immediately and say like, that sounds like Nazi talk. But deprogram them from what? Not everyone was like an ardent, zealous supporter. Every politician has those types, and media loves showcasing them because they love stereotypes. Not everyone was like that. For some people, support was transactional. So what does this mean? How in the world does this advance the cause of this BS unity that y'all are preaching about? It doesn't. It just sounds like you're just saying ignorant stuff. And that's Katie Couric. Good heavens. Yeah, I don't doubt. And of course there are zealots out there. There are always zealots of every, and it's completely fine to be like, you know what, Trump did a lot of good stuff during his turn. I mean, everybody across the board, employment went up until we had the lockdown. Taxes were reduced for everybody. You can't lie to people about receipts. There was peace in the Middle East where the Arab League's taken up more. They're taking up the responsibility of dealing with things in their own backyard. NATO countries are paying their actual fair share. These are all good things. Reducing reducing our role in Afghanistan, not getting involved in any more conflict. These are all good things. But you know, we got to reprogram stuff, reprogram people. I wanted to play this, Audio Soundbite 9. This is Ted Lieu. And Ted Lieu, who is one of the most bombastic Democrats in the House, well, he had something to say about unity. Listen.
Absolutely. And it's so easily debunked. It's simply false that thousands of dead people voted. It is false that there were thousands of ballot signatures that were fake. It's also false that Dominion voting machines switched thousands of votes. None of this is true. And all Republican leaders have to do is to say that the election was not stolen. And if they do that, then they can calm down tension.
Instead, okay, so first off, let me just address this. We know for a fact that there were dead people voting. We know for a fact that there was voter fraud. Here in Texas, I had someone illegally registered to vote at my address. So don't sit here and tell me that there isn't fraud that's taking place. We just had a big bust here in Texas also with someone else. Again, social security numbers of dead people using those. I mean, there have been all kinds of reports on this. To deny that is not a step towards unity. Okay? That's a big problem there right off the bat. And it makes people not trust you when you can't even acknowledge documented occurrences. Now, I have always maintained that there is a massive difference between saying that there absolutely was voter fraud and that there was so much voter fraud that the whole election was. You have to prove things like this. This is one of the reasons why I'm a limited government person that doesn't like most people. You have to prove this kind of stuff. Right? I can't just go out there and be like, well, you beat your wife. I know it, you wife beat her. Okay, you need to prove that. Right?
Remember what they did in 2016. Oh, he colluded with Russia. We know he did. We have proof he did in the whole nine.
The accusation years. Was evidence enough for them.
Right. We had to go years in investigations to prove that they were wrong, and then they still are admitting that they're not wrong.
I mean, what do people think the entire Russian collusion investigation was predicated upon? The idea that Trump stole the election with Putin's help, right? Okay, so we went through 4 years of this, and so now suddenly the standards have increased. No, you look, I've maintained all along you need proof. I said back in 2016, look, if you show me evidence, I will believe it. Show me. That's what I operate off of. I'm not denying anything. I'm just you and interesting in the context of deprogramming and zealotry, right? I just need some evidence. It's kind of antithetical to being zealous, right? Need some evidence. That's all I've ever said. It's all a lot of people have ever said. But here's the thing. We know that there was some fraud that took place. It wasn't just, you know, it wasn't if it did. It was if it was enough and widespread enough to actually, that was what everyone had already said. Now, I think that when you have a historical number of mail-in ballots being sent out, you're going to have more people voting. So But for Ted Lieu to say something like this, he should not. He's also not the arbiter for who gets to have unity and who doesn't, because this man has contributed to more of a divisive tone in the House than almost anybody. Right. So we're going to we'll keep an eye on that. So coming up, we'll talk about executive authority. We're going to talk about what are we going to expect? What's going to happen here now that the Senate's back? What's going to happen Thursday after the inauguration? We'll get into that and more. You don't want to miss the show. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
I had this on my rundown as Pillow Fight. Now, you know, full disclosure, my pillow advertises on the show, and I have a MyPillow, and I'm going to continue having my MyPillow. So, but Dominion sent a letter to Mike Lindell over at MyPillow, threatening him, saying that your accusations about Dominion, you know, that they were rigged, etc. But they sent this legal letter in about the claims of the machines, which they say are false claims of the machines, etc. So I don't know. It seems like they're intimating that there's going to be a legal effort on that end, but we'll see. Speaking, we got some. Well, this is a very interesting thing. L.A. They have seen a massive increase in crime. One thing I want you to note is that I am anticipating an effort from the left to argue that the increase in gun sales is going to is somehow correlated to the increase in crime. And they're going to leave out the variable about defunding the police and how police morale and it's hard to recruit, et cetera, plays into that. And also the reduction in bail requirements, all this, you know, so on and so forth. But LAPD said that they have seen at least victims shot in South LA. They're up 742% compared to last year. And they were talking about, they actually said this, quote, the tragic continuation of gun violence, primarily concentrated in our most disadvantaged neighborhoods, must stop. Gang interventionists are trying, but we all must work together to stop the violence and save lives. This isn't gun violence. This is gang violence, number one. And keep in mind that California has some of the strictest gun control laws. So let's be correct with our terminology, because this isn't gun violence, it's gang violence. So, but I'm just saying, keep an eye on that, because I'm anticipating that. Tiny violence for Ken Jennings. I can't stand him. He's always been an absolute, he has been an absolute tool to me. He has been like so rude and sexist. And I like legitimately, I'm not just like saying that. But he's like a guest host for Jeopardy, and apparently it's not going so well. He's not really good on camera. He's also tiny, and it looks like he's shrinking away from the camera. These are all just like, he's just not playing well. And he's taped like 30 or so episodes, which is about 6 weeks of work, but it doesn't look like he's going to be a permanent. He's not a nice person. He's actually really hateful. Let's see, moving on. This is kind of crazy. The FBI investigating whether or not a woman who stole a laptop from Pelosi's office is actually going to sell it to Russia. Really? She did look odd to me. I was looking at some of the video of this chick. So coming up, the pardons and big tech. Stick with us.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
I have said to Joe Biden that I do feel that when he lay out his agenda and fight participation from the other side, if they're going to be recalcitrant, if they're going to throw up roadblocks, go on without them. Use your executive authority if they refuse to cooperate.
Mm. So that's James Clyburn, who's saying, yeah, like if Republicans are putting up a fight and they're not wanting to basically, I guess, if they're, it's a feature, not a bug of the system, then yeah, use your executive order and go around them. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse up at danalash.com as well. And that's, yeah, I don't really think that that's going to work. Really don't. And the, because I saw some people like Max Boot and some other folks saying that Democrats need to, you know, get the, now that, talking about censorship, like FCC needs to find a way to go around, you know, some of these, like, basically shut down conservative voices and shut down cable news. And they were talking about the fairness doctrine. Here's the thing. Fairness doctrine doesn't apply to cable news.
Nor is it fair.
Nor is it fair. It's broadcast airwaves. So radio-wise, it would affect me. But not on the first, it wouldn't. So just going to put that out there. A couple of things that I want to get into as it relates to this with speech. And this is one of the things that I was looking at. We're going to get in the pardons and all that stuff too. Because now you have Democrats that are actively calling for the suppression of dissent. And well, I don't think Clyburn's calling for that. You know, he's sitting here saying, well, use your executive order, get around stuff. Because, and he's specifically noting in that, too, by the way, how Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster for, you know, executive appointments and judicial nominations. So great. Thank you again, Harry Reid, for that. We appreciate it. Be careful about that precedent you set. But that's something that that precedent, that's something that I get nervous about. I always warned people. When you look at the issue of Section 230 and big tech, and you look at the issue of Facebook and Twitter, I hear, and I've used it before myself, and I keep evolving my thinking around this because I've always been open and honest about, I just don't know where I fell on this. I don't want more government involved in speech and regulation. However, and this is just me thinking out loud here. When you consider the issue of free speech, is it free speech when corporations are free to inconsistently punish people for speech by denial of service? And when they have so much of the space, you know, people always said, well, it's a small business, build your own. Okay, well, conservatives did. Well, not, and they're not even conservative. I think they're more libertarian with Parler. And then Twitter, who had just signed a deal with Amazon back in December for the same service that Parler, the same agreement that Parler has with Amazon, although obviously I would imagine Twitter brought way more money to the deal and maybe leveraged that, they together decided to inconsistently enforce a term of service. They were alleging that Parler was not removing unprotected speech from its platform when they were. It's also difficult to keep up when your service explodes and quadruples like overnight. But wouldn't you have to prove somehow that they were not making a good faith effort to do that, especially when you consider the terms of, when you consider the exponential growth and how quickly that can become very problematic? Even Twitter struggled with it in the beginning. But also, to me, it also seems incredibly inconsistent because it could be very well argued by allowing certain tweets to stay up that call for violence. I mean, I was looking for some guy named Colonel. There was a tweet that was from last year from some guy named Colonel Morris. He's a big anti-gun guy. He hates my guts. But he was talking about actually, like literally, he tweeted using boots to step and twist and crack the necks of opponents. I mean, and that's allowed to stay up. So couldn't you make the argument that Twitter has, even to a bigger degree, violated that term of service agreement with AWS then? But then why is it that Parler is the one that is kicked off, but yet Twitter's allowed to stay? Because I think, and this is where the argument is it comes down to ideology. So when you, to say that, well, it's a small, they control everything. they do control a lot. If you want to have a discussion about antitrust or whatever, my conflict comes in with my libertarian economic beliefs on this. And I, like, again, I don't like the government getting involved in stuff. But hasn't, if you say that businesses are free to operate how they want, but they aren't, though, that's where you're wrong. You've already ceded that ground. Businesses are not free to operate how they want to. For better or for worse, they have to meet a bunch of regulations already in order to operate. That's what those licenses are that they get. You get a permission slip from the government stating that you can operate your business. So this idea that businesses can do what they want, no, they can't. You've already ceded that. So they have to meet a multitude of requirements. And further, you could argue businesses can do what they want. No, they can't. You can't say except and then still use that as an argument. The moment that people started going into micromanaging businesses is the moment that that argument was lost. That defense fails. When you even, I mean, there are, and I'm not saying that this is bad. I'm not saying, I'm putting this out as an example of what violates that strictly in a clinical sense. Laws for protected classes mandate that businesses have to operate a certain way in order to stay open. Okay, so in the very strictest sense, you've already lost that defense, that argument that businesses can operate how they want. They cannot. So that aside, let's go back to the point. It's an inconsistent application of practice. People have already opened the door up for it. Now, here's the other thing. Ability isn't a right, and right isn't an ability. Just because somebody has an ability to do something, that doesn't make it a right to do so, right? So is free speech the right to silence other private citizens with your ability? You're just operating freely as you want to. Let's continue on as though we didn't just negate that argument of businesses can operate how they want to. If that's what you're arguing, then okay, so if you have the ability to operate however you want, then the ability is the justification for the action then, right? That seems an illogical argument, but that's the argument that's being used. So is it less of a restriction of your speech because it's a corporation as opposed to a government entity? That's the big question.
The only word that changes for me is corporate. It's censorship. But in the instance of a business doing it with their platform, that's corporate censorship.
Mm-hmm. So where some would object as well, because the government's not doing it, it's okay. Just start your own thing. Okay. Well, again, I go back to they did with Parler, and look what happened.
Fascism is what happened.
Exactly. And we've already established that businesses cannot operate the way that they want to. So.
If that was the case, we wouldn't have had small businesses die and suffer the last 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the other negation of that defense. Exactly. So is it less of a restriction of your speech because it's several corporations doing it as opposed to the government? That's the question you have to decide.
And how aligned are they with the government when they have all of these protections as quote-unquote platforms, when we know they're publishers? They get this protection from government. So how far are they really from government, honestly?
Exactly. The reason that they have the protection is because, and it's a falsely applied, because if you're engaged in curation and editorialism, then you are, that is not simply being a facilitator. And that's something that I'm sure that I think does need to be legally defined as such. But the thing, the question with this is, well, it's not, and I'm not arguing that this is a utility. That's what the left has argued. But these tech companies have presented themselves as such. How many times has Jack Dorsey and gone before Congress and testified that, you know, well, the reason that we needed to do this is because, you know, we believe that we're, you know, it's a certain, I mean, news is, I mean, they've defended it in so much as they've even used politicians making proclamations or issuing statements as via their service. They've argued how important it is to have that unfettered access. I mean, for crying out loud, they've attacked the country of Uganda because Ugandan's government was preventing its citizens from not just accessing social media, but the internet. And they were saying that it was a violation of a civil right to block access to either. So they've compromised their own advantage by the way that they've argued it. You cannot have it both ways. They've brought this on themselves. I have said this for years. They've brought it on themselves.
And if you look at the example of Parler and you look at like Newsmax or OAN, they couldn't compete with Parler against Parler. So they went to who was hosting Parler.
Right.
And they made them go away. OAN and Newsmax, they can't go after them directly. So what are they doing? They're going after Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast to make sure they don't carry those channels anymore.
Right.
This is what they do. This is fascism.
It is fascism.
And under some guise that they're, you know, saving us from wrong speech.
And I'm not using that word flippantly. It is not a careless, you know, use of that word. That's what it is. This lockstep ideological thinking that does not allow for any kind of dissent. That's what this is. And that's what they're trying to enforce. All of this is the fault of these morons. Any moron who thought it was better to be ruled by these like big tech companies, these corporate tech overlords, as a trade-off for silencing people with whom they disagree. Those people did this. They are the ones actually I blame even more than big tech. And remember, it was media that began this like years ago, demanding that big tech get involved and silence some of these people because they, for the first time, had to compete for a narrative domination in the marketplace of ideas. Interestingly enough, your free press that bitches constantly about how sacred it is wants to deny how equally sacred it is for a free people to have free act, to freely have access and be and have the ability to engage in free speech. They want to squelch speech while demanding that theirs be recognized. It is contradictory. It is the lack of consistency every time that does it. Every time. Yeah, when the left denies service, somehow they're preventing violence. But when the right does it, they're bigots. And so now, as I said, they're going after Telegram in California. And they'll be going after Signal. I told you how they try to go after Substack. So heads up, we will be switching the newsletter to a paid subscription. I will send one free one out a week. And then the rest will be for subscribers because that will it'll make it harder for them to cancel me. It's harder to cancel people when you have a monetary contract. So, an FYI. You'll get more info about that coming up. But I want you to think about that, though. Is it less of a restriction because you have corporations banding together to do it as opposed to the government?
I think there's a part of government that actually is using big tech to do the job that they're not legally able to do.
Especially when those corporations that are banding together to do it are doing so. Technically, they're in violation of 230 because they're claiming that they are one thing while they're acting as another. It's like a 501c4 acting like a 501c3. Right. Big difference. We have a lot more on the way. And I'm fascinated by all of this because I think it is a good Rorschach test as to where people are politically. And I don't know, the Republic really does operate on the honor system. And don't you think the Republic lasts so long as the honor in people who are honoring the honor system? That's why virtue was always so extolled by the founders.
Our forefathers absolutely said that.
The Republic is fueled by virtue. What happens in godless societies? There you go. We have a lot more to touch on, including getting into some of the issues with pardons, because there's always a flurry of pardons. And before you allow the media to freak you out about it, what did Barack Obama had like over 1,900 of them? and during his two terms. So if Trump does like 100 of them before leaving, he's not even up to a quarter of what Obama was. So I'm not even concerned. I do think, I don't know. I know Lil Wayne's going to get one, probably. Yes. I would think it is hysterical. I would think it's hysterical if Joe Exotic gets one and Steve Bannon doesn't. I'm just going to put that out there. And then we're going to talk about Dr. Rachel Levine of Pennsylvania as assistant health secretary. As Rachel said, she would not go to an out-of-shape trainer. Right. My sentiments are kind of the same as it relates to assistant health secretary. We're going to discuss that as well.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
By the way, it's Dolly Parton's birthday. She's 75 years old.
Happy birthday.
Have a birthday, Dolly. I like how she won't get pulled into all the nonsense of politics. All right. I have a one headline to get to you, but I got Florida Man story to get to you, but I got to do this one right now. Mm-hmm. Now, this apparently first happened back in May, but charges were dropped against a Florida man who was arrested for it's a sticker on his truck.
Yeah.
Let me just, again, I'm not Big Bird. I'm not here to babysit y'all's kids. It says a polite way of saying what is on the sticker is I consume posterior.
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
And it was giant. Like the whole back glass, man. He was totally in trouble for it. Columbia County Sheriff's Office. They said that they did drop the charges against the 23-year-old person because it is protected by the First Amendment. There you go. CNN hardest hit. There he is. Oh my gosh. This is too funny. I had to share it. All right. Also, look at this one. Florida man. If I can, what happened? Here it is. This is a nice Florida man story. This is a KRTV. Florida man rescues a bald eagle. He was injured. The bald eagle was injured and rehabs it. He discovered the bird with had a fishing hook in its beak, fishing line wrapped around its wing. He was hanging upside down in the tree. And so he grabbed him with a towel and nursed him back to health, rehabbed him, and now he's been set free. Isn't that nice, America? Hey, maybe that's a story for us coming out of this lockdown. Maybe. Stick with us.
But, you know, as you have seen, the response to the insurrection at our nation's capital has been very different than the response that we had when the uprising was happening in the summer for the lives of Black people. And it's again speaking to that conditioning of who do we think we should be fearful of.
Really? That's Ilhan Omar saying that Republicans are just not as interested in prosecuting Capitol rioters like they were BLM. Really? Because there's a lot of people that have been arrested. I think the facts prove that that's a bunch of BS. But it's interesting how you can't even bring yourself to condemn BLM and Antifa violence, but you can Wednesday. Out of everyone, there's only one ideology that's done both. It's not yours. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, my newsletter. So, where to even start? We have the inauguration tomorrow, and all of the people who are really mad about using military to like go into Washington, D.C. and protect stuff are now really excited about using military to go into Washington, D.C. and protect stuff. That damn Tom Cotton, right? His editorial started it all. My goodness. And now, what did they say? They found a whole 12 National Guard members. Where's this at? I'm kind of bouncing around my rundown. Sorry, guys. They found a whole 2 Guard members that I don't know what their beliefs are.
Well, they looked at their social media is what they did.
Yeah, they looked at their social media. And what did they determine? That they had ties to something that was extreme?
They were the patriots, quote unquote, so we can't have that.
Well, we don't know. It just says that all it says is National Guard, 2 National Guard members were found to have ties to fringe right group militias, and they were removed from the mission to protect the inauguration. Okay. What does that mean? Because think about how arbitrarily things are being defined. I'm a little curious as to what that even means. Like, were they involved with, you know, I don't know. I mean, what were they involved in? I think that's worth it to know, especially, it's worth it for us to know. And I think it's fair for everyone to know, particularly when you've had Democrats go out there and say that Republicans were allowing people to go and case the joint and all kinds of stuff, and that there's an insider attack and, you know, pushing all of this. You know, I thought that disinformation like this was dangerous. Everything is the definition of everything is up for debate, apparently, now. So that's why, because I don't trust the definition of these people. I don't trust media's interpretation of events. So I would really like to know what it is particularly that, you know, I don't want anybody who's sketch being right there. I agree. But what were they involved in? I think we deserve to know. It is. I mean, were they white supremacists or were they Trump voters? Because, see, the left defines that as the same thing. So, I mean, I'm curious. I do find this fascinating, though, how Peter Strzok and Lisa Page's anti-Trump hate was totally irrelevant to their job. But also, Democrats believe that every Guard member should be subjected to a political purity test. Imagine having the FBI held to the same standard that the National Guard is, apparently. I wanted to put that out on your plate. After tomorrow, they can't call Donald Trump names anymore and have that as like a legitimate defense. What are they going to do? Somebody's got to be the bad guy. Who's it going to be? Can we have a discussion about who is going to be in charge of the nation's health care? Can we talk about this? Joe Biden has named Dr. Rachel Levine as assistant health secretary, would be first transgender official confirmed by the Senate. So they named Pennsylvania's Dr. Levine as the assistant HHS secretary. He will be the first transgender official to be confirmed by the Senate. Don't sit here and tell me that I'm dead identifying whatever anybody. I am a woman and I do not allow the patriarchy to direct my speech. Thank you. We women got the right to vote, and I will be damned if the patriarchy, the progressive patriarchy, tells me how I can and cannot speak. You can eat a bag of unflattering things if you think that you can do that. I'm going to lay that out there. What? I didn't say anything.
No, you did good.
Thank you. Man, you. But I am curious. There's a lot of there's some controversy that accompanies Rachel Levine, because Rachel Levine was accused of getting his mom out of a nursing home before some of these Cuomo like regulations took place. But here's my bigger thing. Can we put everything else aside? Like all of the questions about the past performance and everything else. Rachel Levine does not look healthy.
No. Not at all.
Now, a different Rachel, who works with us for the first, was saying that she would not go to a trainer who was overweight,
A lot of us are in that camp.
Can you be canceled for saying that now? What? Because, and the reason I bring this up is because what have you been shown for the past however many months now? They put on Glamour, they put what I would define as a morbidly obese person on the cover and said this is healthy. And I'm like, uh-uh.
But it's medically described as morbidly obese.
Yeah. There's a difference between like the supermodel Kate Moss anorexic chic and morbidly obese. You know, I mean, there's a difference, neither of which I think is healthy. But, and size is different for person. But can we be honest here? I'm just saying Rachel Levine does not look like the picture of health. And I don't think that someone like that should be. I want anybody who is making any decisions about health and human services yes. to look like they care about health and human services. Okay. I want them to look healthy. I want them to look fit. For their body type, look fit. It looks different for everyone, but they look fit no matter what the body type is.
Yeah.
Right? It's not saying everybody be the same weight. It's everyone be fit for your type. I don't think that this person looks fit or healthy, and I immediately, like, I don't trust a skinny chef. If you're a skinny chef, I'm not going to eat your food.
That's a good point.
I don't trust you. Unless you're telling me that, no, I'm on like a strict medical diet because if I eat, you know, X amount of grams of chocolate, I'll explode or something like that. You know, then I'd be like, okay. But you know what I mean?
And I don't know. I mean, what is the health and human services background of this individual that would qualify them for this
he's
position?
A pediatrian. Don't yell at me about...
Wait a minute. She is...
He is a pediatrician. He's a man who identifies as a woman. I'll call him Rachel Levine. I'll do that. But don't direct my speech as a woman, because then you're getting in my business. I'm fine with allowing you to do you. The moment you start bossing me around is when that ends.
Is it bad to ask about the mental health?
I do think it may be a mental thing, yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do know that Rachel Levine does not look healthy.
But the way the media celebrated and Democrats celebrated it wasn't the fact that this person was a pediatrician.
That didn't even matter.
No, that didn't even come into play. It was the fact that they were transgender. To me, look, less than 1% of people in the United States are transgender or identify as transgender.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this a giant virtue signal more than it is pushing the qualifications of this person for this position?
Because everything's a social experiment. And it's more important to show fealty than it is to actually do the job.
It's mind-boggling and frustrating.
Mm. That's it. Here's the thing with having everything be arbitrary as well. Drew Holden made a great point. Many of the problems in our political discourse spring from the fact that words no longer have a commonly understood meaning, and that makes it really hard to communicate and wrestle with ideas and issues. That's 1,000% correct. That's actually right. He's right, though. Yep. I do agree. Okay, so the issue with pardons, we should have this conversation because everybody's talking about who the president may or may not pardon. Who's he going to pardon? Well, I don't know. I don't know who he's going to pardon. I know that a lot of people are pushing for Julian Assange to get a pardon. A lot of people are pushing Edward Snowden to get a pardon. Here's my thing about Julian Assange, as I understand it. Now, I know that he published material that had been like stolen or leaked or hacked, right? But isn't part of it, I mean, from what I mean, Bradley Manning hacked, or Chelsea Manning now, hacked a secured server and stole classified information. And from what I understand, he didn't do it alone. And again, I'm happy to call somebody by their name, but don't sit here and lecture me and try to control a woman's speech. But didn't, and here's my question, as I understand the charges, isn't one of the charges for Assange because he participated in the hacking of it? Like, he actually participated in and helping Manning. It wasn't just that he received information, it was that he engaged in the in obtaining that information, right? Because I actually don't have a problem with the publishing of the material. I really don't. I don't have a problem with the publishing of that material or material in a, like when he was publishing, like for instance, Snowden's material, because he was publishing Snowden's material in a whistleblower sense. However, the charge for, as I understand it, participating in the hacking, I mean, Manning got a charge for that. That I find less defensible. So I think him publishing Snowden's information, maybe perhaps a pardon for that, because that's a whole other charge, as I understand it. But participating physically in the activity of getting into that system to obtain the information with Manning, which is a separate incident. I mean, that I think is because I believe that it was right for Manning to be charged, and it would be inconsistent to say otherwise, right? As it relates to Assange on that point. Now, as it relates to Edward Snowden, I don't dislike whistleblowers, right? And I think that the struggle that I have with Edward Snowden is, had he limited his breach, when you go back to the Pentagon Papers, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why I am not against publishing that information, the left would have to backtrack on themselves with this, but that was incredibly limited in scope. What Snowden's information was not limited to surveillance. In fact, a huge significant chunk of it was about military, tactical, etc., classified information. And he didn't go to and follow the protocol for whistleblower protections. He could have gone to members of Congress, testified, or told them in a closed room, done something like that. He says he did not. And this is where I actually am kind of on the fence. He says he doesn't trust that system. After everything I saw with FISA court, I don't know necessarily that I do also. But the thing that hangs me up about Snowden is the fact that it wasn't just limited to surveillance. A significant chunk was about a whole bunch of other stuff that China or Russia would be very much interested in. Now, he says that before he went to Russia, he got rid of that information. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. And therefore was not able to, they couldn't get him on it. They couldn't obtain it from him or leverage him in that way. And that's why where I keep stopping, right? With the Snowden situation, because everything that we know about surveillance, in fact, a significant amount of what we know about surveillance came from that leak. We're going to talk more about this because it's not something I can fit in just a couple of minutes. There's a lot of nuance here.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Okay, I have a couple of things here. First off, apparently, so Sidney Powell has just voluntarily dropped her lawsuit to overturn results in Georgia. The joint motion to dismiss was submitted today, actually just a little bit ago, by Powell. So just an FYI for right there. Washington State is officially beginning human composting. People in Washington State can now literally push up daisies after their death, says New York Post and KOIN. There are two facilities in the state that received the first bodies ever for human composting, known as natural organic reductions. I do not want literally anything that has been composted with that. Oh, man, I am like short circuiting from the jokes. It's just bad. Just don't do it. Oh, let's see. Senator Josh Hawley has a new publisher for his big tech book. He found a new publisher after Simon & Schuster dropped him after the violence last week. Regnery is actually going to be publishing The Tyranny of Big Tech, and it is supposed to come out this spring. So went from Simon & Schuster to Regnery, which also published my last book. Interesting. So I figured that he was gonna find somebody to do it. Yeah. Let's see here. Stevie Wonder calls on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to establish a truth commission to investigate inequality, which is totally not like a 1984 thing that George Orwell wrote about at all. Nothing. Speaking of truth commissions and investigations, George Papadopoulos joins us next. First time on the show.
We're not going to force you to wear a mask, but if you do head out, take The Dana Show with you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think we need a 9/11 type commission to investigate and report everything that they can pull together and explain what happened?
I do. Let me, again, to your point of who is he beholden to, as I've said over and over, as I said to him in that picture with my blue suit,
right,
as I was leaving, what I was saying to him as I was pointing rudely at him, with you, Mr. President, all roads lead to Putin. I don't know what Putin has on him politically, financially, or personally. But what happened last week was a gift to Putin, because Putin,
that's right,
wants to undermine democracy in our country and throughout the world.
I don't think that she said Putin enough in that answer to Hillary Clinton. I really don't. That obviously, Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton having a discussion about now establishing, this was just the other day, now establishing some sort of 9/11 type commission to do what apparently Democrats were twice unable to do, even with a completely friendly FBI on their side. And just to point out, this is what I'm talking about in terms of getting that unity, this post-election unity. this isn't it to me. All of the protests from the left and everything else about how mean Trump is being, et cetera, et cetera. You weaponized our intelligence agencies to go after private citizens to settle a political score. That is a terrifying precedent to establish. Absolutely terrifying. And just as frightening, the number of people out there who just shrug this off. Imagine somebody like me in that position. I freely admit, I'm like Galadriel from Lord of the Rings. You do not want me having the ring. No, no, no. You do not want me in an elected position where I would have access to stuff like that. Because I am petty. I am Godfather vindictive. I don't forget. I will completely abuse it. So imagine having someone that is not as forthright with you as I am, getting in that position and having that access, because nobody raised any objections when it was first used. That's the whole entire point. Joining me on this issue is, I mean, ultimately, I think he's, I was trying to figure out how best to describe him. Like, normally in a pandemic or an epidemic, you have like your patient zero. In like this Russian collusion thing, he's kind of like the patient zero. Everything started with George Papadopoulos. I mean, they treated him like garbage. This guy was kicked around in the court of public opinion. He was convicted before really anybody even knew full details about the story. And he joins us now via Skype. He is the best-selling author of Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. George Papadopoulos, first time on the show. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Dan.
I think that is kind of the best way to describe how all of this began, because you were viewed first as the, maybe you, they could potentially get you to fall. And that's how, I guess, they could try to go and take down the administration, basically undo the election, you know, in reverse by just undermining not only people's faith in the system, but whether or not the president won legitimately in the first place. And it started with you.
Yeah, well, that I think is the cover story that the mainstream media tried to propagate for a long time. But with new facts that have been declassified and Attorney General Barr and John Durham making public and separate statements regarding how the entire Crossfire Hurricane investigation even started, they basically disabused the old narrative and suggested that this goes far even further than myself and was likely targeting even other campaigns. I actually started my work on presidential campaigns first by working for Ben Carson after I left the conservative think tank Hudson Institute. And as soon as I left that campaign, essentially the world intelligence community wanted to fall in my lap, basically upon joining the Trump campaign. So I think there were eyes on the Trump campaign. I think that's what a lot of the files that have been declassified are starting to suggest. And I think, unfortunately, now that the Trump administration is in its final day, we're not going to learn the full extent of the story until Biden ascends to the Oval Office. And I think that's a real shame.
Yeah. And I don't know if we'll ever actually at this point figure out what the full truth was. I mean, I would love to know when all of this even started. I mean, with the campaign and I don't even think that we know the full story of every single person involved. I know from some of the documents that have been declassified and some of the IG reports, we know that it went up all the way to the Oval Office within President Obama. And we know that now incoming President Joe Biden was aware of it. So a lot of questions remain there. And that's the thing that terrifies me the most, is how many people were completely okay with the weaponization of all of these intel agencies going after people like you, trying to get you on process charges. I know you wrote about this in your book. I wanted to ask you, though, about some of these documents that were declassified just recently. Lindsey Graham had declassified some items. I know everyone is still wondering the full nature of the Durham report. But I mean, essentially, all of these years, George, and nothing at all came out to substantiate even the reason for the investigation. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And then I'm going to go back to that soundbite that I played for you. And I want to get your response to that proposal of a commission.
Well, first and foremost, I've had the privilege to travel around the country over the last 3 years and talk to thousands of patriots who love this country. And even when the economy was in a positive trajectory, when you saw historic unemployment rates and everybody was in a pretty good mood about their pocketbooks, there was still something that really stung Americans, and that was this particular situation, which you're detailing during our conversation today. That's the weaponization of the intelligence community against political rivals and the apparent involvement of the upper echelons of the Obama administration. This is something that, in my opinion, not only harmed the democratic process in this country, but actually tampered with the smooth transition of power, more so than any other foreign actor could have possibly hoped to have done to the American country that we love and adore. The smooth transition of power between Obama and Trump never happened because of this weaponization by people like Jim Comey, Sally Gates, Loretta Lynch, Rosenstein, and Biden. I believe, and I wholeheartedly believe, that the single biggest mistake that the Trump administration did over the last couple of years was not releasing these so-called declassified documents to the American public. The president has been quite adamant and very vocal in his claim that his campaign was illegally spied on. Yet the administration never revealed the documents that would have substantiated these claims, which I believe would have changed the court of public opinion, not only towards myself and the president and others associated to his campaign, but also Joe Biden and the entire reputation of the Obama administration as this seemingly scandal-free administration. So there were missed opportunities, but I think eventually Durham is going to do the right thing. He has been appointed a special counsel. His investigation will continue to the Biden administration, and we'll see how far up it goes and whether it implicates Biden or his inner circle themselves.
Why do you think the Trump administration didn't declassify everything and declassify it sooner?
I truly believe, and I wrote about this in my book, it's because the Russians, as far as I'm concerned, I've never met a Russian official in my life. So how I could have been patient zero of a Russia conspiracy, it just really highlights exactly how much disinformation was really being propagated to the American public and how off the media was about the real story. And I think we're starting to see exactly why the president was unable to get this information out there, because there's tremendous pushback within the FBI, the CIA, and other foreign governments who might or might not have been involved in targeting Americans like myself and others, because they don't want mud in their face. The last thing CIA Director Gina Haspel wants is to expose methods and secrets that the CIA might have been utilizing against the campaign, or Jim Comey, or even Director Wray, who's a sitting FBI director. This really goes to the core of the integrity of the institutions that we as Americans should revere and not fear, and hope that they would protect us and uphold the Constitution instead of shredding the Constitution. That's why I think the president had such tremendous pushback from releasing these files, even when he installed a loyalist, if you want to call them that, such as DNI Ratcliffe and others at the head of the intelligence community. So this is a very deep issue that penetrates the American government. And that's exactly why I think the president had such a difficulty in getting these documents out, even during his last day in office, which is today.
We're talking with George Papadopoulos, whose book Deep State Target gets into how he was just that. The book's title's explanatory, how he was a deep state target. George, what assurances do American citizens or anyone who's running for office, any member of the campaign, anyone who's helping out with a campaign, what assurances do they have that something like this isn't going to happen in the future? Because I'm looking ahead at this chilling effect, perhaps, that this precedent now allowed to stand, because there's been no justice in the eyes of the American people. I know certain things you can't, you know, I've talked to Andy McCarthy about this, you can't prosecute on in the way that you would in a normal, the normal civil arena. But it seems like there's a chilling effect that's been established here, and other people are going to be hesitant to get involved in political campaigns because they watched what you went through. So what assurances do Americans have that this isn't going to be weaponized again? The box has been opened.
That's a great point you just made. And the beauty of our country is that Lady Justice has historically been depicted as wearing a blindfold or being blind. And what that blindfold is supposed to suggest and represent is an impartial justice system, one in which the law and the rule of law is applied equally without regard to wealth or political affiliation. Unfortunately, what we've seen over the last couple of years in this country is a two-tiered justice system, one in which people who committed crimes, and you mentioned the IG report earlier by IG Horowitz, people like Andy McCabe lied under oath three different times on three separate occasions. They were recommended for prosecution by IG Horowitz, yet Andy McCabe was never prosecuted. In fact, he's on CNN pontificating about what a disaster President Trump is and how justified his now completely discredited investigation really was. And we had other people like Carter Page, who was charged with nothing but had his entire reputation destroyed. You had illegal surveillance. There was just documents that were released a couple of weeks ago that my phone calls with the vice president of Fox News were being wiretapped while I was on the campaign, yet I had never met a Russian official in my life. So I think what the American public, and the Americans are the smartest people on earth, and what the perception has been fed because of this disaster over the last couple of years seems to mean that there's a two-tier justice system, one for Republicans and one for Democrats. There's one that if you are affiliated or associated with a political outsider like Donald Trump or even Ben Carson, who I used to work for, that you're going to be viewed as differently and a potential threat to the establishment in this country. Yet, if you're working for Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton, you can simply get away with about everything except murder. And that's exactly what the perception, unfortunately, has been projected to this country. Americans are fed up with it. And you're absolutely right. Moving forward, what message does this send about other Americans who want to get associated to rival presidential campaigns? What about the midterms coming up in 2022 and how they're going to be viewed as potential rivals against Joe Biden's platforms in this country? That's something that the only way we could possibly solve is if we have one set of rules for all. Those who committed crimes and were involved in illegal wrongdoing, such as Andy McCabe, as the IG suggested, should have been prosecuted and should still be prosecuted in order for this country to finally heal, move on, and assure what happened in 2016 and the illegal targeting of a campaign will never happen again. Because me, as an American who loves this country more than party, I don't want to see what happened to Donald Trump's campaign happen to any presidential campaign moving forward, whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent. And I think every American who is watching and listening to this program would likely agree.
Yeah, I would say so. George Papadopoulos, good to talk with you. And it brings up some great points, because I just think that if Democrats were concerned about Russian interference, then they would not perhaps be so tempted by Russian interference through dossiers and whatnot to listen to their worst angels and act upon those inclinations, and because they fulfilled it better than anybody else really could. George, congrats on the book, although I know the book was released last year, Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. I think people need to get this book and read it to understand fully, whenever they hear calls for unity, what needs to really be overcome to achieve that. George, good to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
So, you know, it's like the last full day of Trump being in the White House, and so everybody is asking for pardons. Pardon this person, pardon that person, pardon Joe Exotic, pardon everybody. And even Snoop Dogg is asking for pardons, although I guess it was supposed to be secret, but it's not secret any longer. The Daily Mail says it was a secret push to free Suge Knight, you know, the guy who held up Rob Van Winkle by his ankles from a balcony in Miami sometime. What, right? I mean, that's how the legend goes. So he's, you know, apparently he's been lobbying. He's been working with a pair of activists close to the White House to try to get Trump to commute Michael Harris, founder of Death Row Records. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I wonder, you know, if he regrets making that video now, you know, the video where he like portrayed Trump as a clown and then like held the guy who was playing Trump in clown makeup at gunpoint in the video. Yeah. Remember all of the controversy? The year started like that, and then it ends with him asking for a pardon for a friend, or a commutation of a sentence for a friend.
That's why he wanted to keep this ask a secret.
Secret push. Secret push. Just saying. All right, today in stupidity came.
All right, NBC's Hassan is literally a tool bag. But here's what he says.
Not rhetorically.
Not rhetorically. He literally is. This is what he says. Just makes him a larger lying tool bag.
One. And don't get me wrong, 9/11 was a horrific mass casualty attack of a kind unique in modern history. 3,000 people killed in a single morning. But in my view, Al-Qaeda after 9/11 was not as much of a threat to us, did not have the kind of advantages or strengths even that this domestic movement of oath keepers and proud boys and militiamen and neo-Nazis.
This is why he's stupid.
That's I don't even know who this guy is.
Hassan?
Yeah. Never, ever heard him. I am today years old.
Alignments elsewhere.
There you go. Tomorrow is the inauguration, folks. We'll get through it together. Inaugural overload. Subscribe to the newsletter.